Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 90, verse 2. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6, 20, 21. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6, 20, 21. Isaiah 55, 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 9. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name, for thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, and with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25, 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name, for thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, and with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25, 1. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful indeed today for another opportunity to focus our minds upon the eternal truths of your word. We realize how grateful we should be for the blessings which you give us each and every day. We're the recipients of grace and salvation, grace by which to live, grace that will take us home one of these days. Father, we appreciate so very much the fact that you've given us the assurance in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us, that you'd be with us always, even unto the end of the world. We thank you for this magnificent day. Thank you for the fact that we enjoy and rejoice in the fact that we can celebrate, but this is not only one day, but every day we're to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. And so we're thankful for the fact that we know for sure that heaven is our eternal home. Salvation is ours. You're blessing us every day. And we thank you so much for it. Be with us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. Most of you by now, just in a casual reading of that verse of Scripture, have come to the conclusion that this is a magnificent passage of Scripture indeed. You're going to see that verse now in an exegetical way. So I wanted you to be able to see that I have it for you. See my hands and my feet. This is the resurrected Christ. If you'll notice, please, that the word see is the word horao, which is H-O-R-A-O, horao. A beautiful word indeed. Actually, when we look at the word horao, it means looking at something as we would look from one side all the way over to the other side. It's the horizon look. Beautiful, beautiful, magnificent word. And so Jesus now is telling these individuals, I want you to see my hands and my feet. But notice how the word is used. It is not only the word horizon to look, but it is an aorist active imperative verb. Why do I get so excited about these verbs? because I want you to see that our Lord here is saying that this is a command. In other words, this is not something that's casual. This is a command. The Lord, in resurrected humanity, is now saying, I want you to see. I want you to take a look. I want you to take a long look. I want your horizon. Hora'o. Can you see how grateful we should be for that? See my hands and see my feet. That it is I myself. Every word in this verse, every word is important. See my hands. See my feet. That it is I myself. Now let's not go too fast. I want you to see what our Lord is doing. This is resurrected humanity. This is Jesus Christ alive. See my hands, my feet. It is I myself. And what I want you to see here is we have the word podos for the feet. And then it says that I, and here is I am. What is unique here is in the Greek we have ego, which is the personal pronoun I, and then we have a verb, I am a. So we have, see my hands, see my feet, that it is I myself. See what has happened here. I'm trying to go slowly enough for you to be able to see with me how great this is. How fantastic this is. This is the resurrected Christ speaking, saying with a command, see my hands, see my feet, that it is I myself. Now that's not all that's said here. Handle me and see. Now, this time, handle me and see. Another verb, aorist active imperative, another command. You talk about powerful, pungent, important. What words can I add to that? God is saying to us now as we read this, Jesus wants us to know that he didn't stay in the grave. He came forth out of the grave. Victorious over death and hell and sin and the grave and whatever else you can add to it. All I want you to see is, see my hands, it's a command. See my feet, it's a command. That it is I myself, handle me and see. Then he goes on to explain, because a spirit, flesh and bones does not have. Because a spirit, flesh and bones, does not have, as you have seen me having. I just wonder if I could get into your brain for a few seconds and see what you're thinking. I can't do that. Oftentimes you can see in my brain because I just blabber it all out where you can hear what I'm thinking. But I want you to see that I'm trying to see if you're not seeing that there's something missing here. And I'm letting you think about it. Did any of you see that there was something missing here? Because hoite, because spirit, pneuma, sarke, flesh, bones, flesh and bones, not have, as you see me having. Okay. Words are important. Resuscitation is a word that you need to write somewhere. Very, very important. I'm aware of the fact that in the book of Matthew, at the time of the resurrection, we have other people getting up, moving around. Are you aware of that? Is that resurrection or is that resuscitation? You've got to look at this carefully now. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits of them that slept. Which says that up to this very point of time in history, there's only been one person to receive a resurrection body. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So if anyone else ever got up, Lazarus or anyone else, if they got up, they were resuscitated. Which means that they will die again. You got it? Resuscitation means to revive from apparent death or from unconsciousness to die again. Now, I could spend the rest of the time here, but I just want you to be sure that you understand the difference between resuscitation and resurrection. If you've heard this before, wonderful. If you've understood it in the past, wonderful. If you understand it now, wonderful. If it's been a little hazy in the past, that's okay. If it's still a little hazy now, it's still okay. I want you to be able to hear. Not only hear with the ears of your body, but hear with the ears of your heart. There's a difference there. Some people hear without hearing. Because they hear and they don't understand. It's not perceptive. It's not epinosis. It's just gnosis. I've been studying this lately and it's really dawning on me something that I need to just tell you. Unsaved people can understand some things. Did you know that? Unsaved people can hear the scripture presented and have gnosis, not epinosis, but gnosis of biblical information. Now, I don't want to throw you off there, but I want you to see something. There's not comprehension because you have to be body, soul, and spirit in order to comprehend. It's possible for an unsaved individual to read the scripture and have intellectual knowledge. What does that do to them? It just gives them intellectual knowledge. All right, wasn't planning on getting to that, but I just want you to see that resuscitation means to revive from apparent death or from unconsciousness to die again. Resurrection means to receive a new house for the soul, which lasts forever. You ought to write that. Only one person to this point in history has received a resurrection body, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard this before, and I shall repeat. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ gets us ready for heaven. His life indwelling us makes us ready for our time on the earth. What am I saying? I'm saying something that I've said over and over and over 1,000 times or more. Having been born into God's kingdom, the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit places into your life and mine the ability to understand, comprehend, appreciate, love those things in the realm of the spiritual, which the unsaved person doesn't have. That simply means that His life indwelling us now makes us ready for our time on the earth while we're living on this earth. When I look at this auditorium and I see you individually and know you personally, because of what I know about you over these years, I realize how you appreciate God's grace and salvation. And you enjoy the Bible. And I appreciate that because I realize that you and I are on the same page. It just simply means that we're body, soul, and spirit. We love God. We love His Word. What's amazing to me, people come to me all the time asking questions. And I say it's wonderful to ask questions. Because You're never going to learn unless you are inquisitive. You've got to learn by asking questions and studying God's Word and growing in grace and knowledge. Don't be embarrassed about what you don't know. Let me tell you something. I've been at this thing for many, many years, and there are many, many things I don't know. I don't know all. So I just want you to understand that I'm going to tell you something right now. No matter how smart you may think you are, you don't know it all. I'm going to smile real big so you won't be mad at me. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ gets us ready for heaven. His life indwelling us now makes us ready for living on the earth. His death delivers us from the penalty of sin. His life delivers us from the power of sin. Now you need to write that down. You and I don't have to be under the control of our sinful nature. So many times we are. So many times we choose to live outside of the plan of God, which is the divine power sphere. We're not cleansed of sin. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We're living our life under the control of our old sinful nature. Sad, tragic. We don't have to, but we do. His death delivers us from the penalty of sin. We emphasized that in the first session today. His life delivers us from the power of sin. Please, please, and I'm saying this to myself as well as to you, let's not be under the control of our sinful nature. Let's not have an oh-hum attitude toward the mind of Jesus Christ. Let us not be indifferent to the study of the Word of God. Please. Because life on the earth is very short at the longest. Take advantage of every opportunity you have to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Words that are important. Resurrection, resuscitation, theophany, Christophany. We heard these words in the first session today. I put them a little different for you to see. Resurrection, resuscitation, theophany, Christophany. Let me pause for a moment. Let's just make believe that I just sat down by your side and I ask you to give me a definition. For resurrection. How'd you do? I gave you the opportunity to tell me and give me a definition for resuscitation. How did you do? I asked you to tell me what theophany meant. How did you do? I asked you to tell me what Christophany means. How'd you do? Now, if you're hanging your head in shame, please lift your head and don't let anyone else around you see that you've put your head down. Resurrection. What does that word mean to us? Resurrection. How fantastic this is. It was predetermined. Let's think about that for a moment. The cross, the death, the burial, resurrection, predetermined. What does predetermined mean? It means it was, you're not supposed to do this, it was predetermined. It was decided in the ages past. They say you're not supposed to define a word with the word. I just did that, didn't I? Predetermined means that in the eternal ages past, however many millions of years, I don't have any idea. In the beginning, way back there, Deity 1, Deity 2, Deity 3, looked down through the ages of time, I believe, and they saw you and me, and they saw our condition, depraved, sinful, lost, unsaved. You see that? In the eternal ages past, I don't know how long ago that was, but God saw you and me and saw our need. And how many times have I said this? I believe that there was somewhat of a Trinity discussion about your need and mine. And as they discussed this, they were of the opinion, and this is putting it in terminology modern day, they were aware of the fact that no one else other than a member of that Trinity could die for the sins of the world. Does that make sense to you? No other person, no matter how good the individuals may be. And so I see this, and it's beautiful. Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, said, I will become the existent Christ. I say this over and over again, and sometimes I say it, and I'm not sure that you are really saying, yes, I see what you're saying. The pre-existent Christ, in discussing with Deity 1 and Deity 3, they came to the conclusion that it had to be deity to come to the earth and die for the sins of the world. And so the pre-existent Christ, in essence, said, I will become the existent Christ. This is Christ in the flesh. Are you really aware, I know you are, of the virgin conception and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? You say, oh, I've heard that all my life. Yes, right. But do you understand what that means? That means that when God became man, God was all God before he became man. He was all God after he became man. And on the other side, we discover that man had all the characteristics of mankind. Look at that. Body, soul, spirit. You're thinking with me. I can hear your brain working. It's making a little noise. But anyway, you're thinking. And I want you to see that this pre-existent Christ became the existent Christ for the specific purpose of giving himself totally. That's the reason why we use the terminology, the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We began that years ago, presenting that particular slogan, that particular expression of letters, the total work of Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ, the virgin conceived one, virgin born one. The Holy Spirit brought about this conception. The Holy Spirit brought about this birth. When I look at this, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing Mary, who was no different than any other lady. I appreciate Mary, don't you? But here we discover that she had a mother and daddy, and her daddy gave to her the old sinful nature, because the old sin nature passes down from the daddy to the child, and rather than from the mother to the child. So Mary can be appreciated, but let me tell you something very quick-like. Don't say Holy Mary, Mother of God, because it's not Holy Mary, Mother of God. Mary is not the Mother of God. Do you realize what took place? The third person of the Trinity in the eternal ages past. The third person of the Trinity in discussing this with the Father and deity two pre-existent said, I'll have a part in that birth. It was the Holy Spirit that brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth. I hear someone saying, you're not telling us anything new. No, that's right. I'm telling you something that you and I need to rejoice in. And realize that the Holy Spirit brought about the God-man. All God, all man. Body, soul, and spirit. Tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Can you imagine what it was like for Jesus Christ while he was on this earth for those 30-some years. Can you imagine what it was like for him in the area of temptation? Just want you to think about it. So many times we get so involved with so many thoughts, we don't think about some of these things. Do you think he was tempted? He was tempted, the scripture says, in all points, as we are, yet without sin. My question to you is, how was he able to resist the temptations of his flesh, body, soul, and spirit? God, man. Oh, I know what some of you are saying. All he had to do is just flip over to the deity side. But I want you to know that while he was on the earth, he chose not to utilize the deity characteristics in order to fulfill God's plan for him in the flesh. So how did he make it? He made it the same way that you and I can make it. And that is depending upon the power of the Holy Spirit and his utilization of the Word of God. All you have to do is go to the 4th chapter of the book of Matthew, and you'll find Jesus being tempted by Satan. And over again, 3 different times, the temptation was given, and Jesus gave the answer. It has been written in the past with the result that that which has been written stands true to this very point of time and continues to stand true forever. How did Jesus overcome the difficulties of life? By utilization of the ministry of the third person of the Trinity. Well, I didn't plan to just... I'm enjoying this. Where are my notes? Well, I'm enjoying my notes. Can't see very well, but I'm doing good. There's our verse. Luke 24:39. See my hands. In fact, in the Greek, it's so unique. See the hands of me. Now, all you Greek students can see this. It's so unique. Then podos, and then that I myself. And I've already mentioned the fact that we have here the personal pronoun and then the verb I me. Look at this. Handle me. Handle me and see. Please notice again the verb. When Jesus said, take a look. See my hands. See my feet. It is I, myself. Is that enough? That's enough, really, right there. But then he goes on to say, handle me and see. And notice that that is another verb in the imperative mood. It's a command. At a point of time, subject produces action. In 1 Corinthians 15:23, we have an emphasis upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the first person to have a resurrection body. We talked about that in the first service. We told you, and I want to remind you here, that the next group of people who will have a resurrection body will be the believers of the church age, at what is known as the rapture of the saints. The third group will be made up of Old Testament saints plus the martyrs of the tribulation. Sometimes I wonder why I should say this so many times, and I'll tell you why. Because I have to review this over and over in my own thinking. The fourth group to receive resurrection bodies will be all the millennial saints plus those who were alive who entered into the millennium in their normal bodies. You and I must appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ did all of this so that we could have the assurance that we're going to be with him forever and ever. I'm continually being asked questions, and I'm glad to have questions. A few weeks ago, I shared with you the fact that we have a body now. All of us have a body. And we're going to be losing this body one of these days, either by physical death or by the rapture. This is the body in which you and I now live. The real you and me is not the body. The real you and me is the body and soul. But we've got a body now. And God provides a body for every particular time. Okay, you and I have loved ones who passed away. Are they just soul sleeping? Are they non-existent now? No. God provides for them a body. You're asking me now a question that I can't answer. What kind of a body is it? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing that I do know. The one who provides the body knows. Did you hear it? You and I don't have to worry about those things we don't know when we know that we're related to the person who knows. So there's going to be an interim body. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul says to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. That's a body. If you're listening to that, you're getting it. What kind of body it is, I don't know. But whatever he designed and whatever he desires, you put it down. It can't be any better than that. Just like he provided a body for us now. And we're living in a dying, decaying, deteriorating body. But there's going to come a day when we're not going to be in a dying, deteriorating, decaying body. We're going to have, because of what he's done, we've talked about it already, we're going to have a glorified, spiritual, resurrection body. Oh my, it's beyond anything that you and I could ever imagine. We're going to be in a place called eternal home, a place that you and I cannot comprehend. There's no way that we can understand all this. We get a few glimpses here and there from the Word of God, but we don't have it. We don't know it all. But you put it down. Whatever he designed for us, he's designed it, and you cannot beat what he's designed for you and me. Much more to be said. Energy gone. Time to pray. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today for the fact that Jesus Christ is the answer. The only answer. There's no other way under heaven whereby we can be saved other than through the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. As we close the service today, we're thankful that we can say to everyone who hears that salvation can be theirs if they'll only accept the gift of salvation. The Bible is so plain, so simple, and yet so profound when it presents what Jesus Christ has done for us, and that he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray that there will be many right now who will accept you as their Savior. We know that Jesus said, I'm the way. Didn't say I'm one of the ways. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. There's no other way to be saved other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that there will be those who will do just that right now, trust you as their personal Savior. We thank you over and over again for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.